had the excitement of the palm parade. We've had that chaos and energy and music and joy. And now we're moving into the week, into a week when Jesus spent a lot of time teaching, we hear, continuing to share the messages that he considered important. So why were so many people gathered to see him when he entered Jerusalem? Who were they looking for? And why did so many people continue to gather and to listen to him each day? Can you imagine in your own lives the times that you've looked to someone else as the answer to the problems that you face? That if only that person did something or acted in a certain way or said a certain thing, the sorrow you were experiencing, the limitations you were facing, the struggles you were enduring would end. You see, for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, they had a story about someone they called a Messiah, a Savior. They had an image of a Prince of Peace, mounted on a horse, who would lead the people and free them after so many, not just years, but centuries of captivity, of oppression, of loss of their ability to make decisions for their own people. And they looked to this image of a Messiah as someone who would bring freedom, who would fight for them, who would fix things and make things better. They looked to different people. There were different attempts. This was a time when there were, you know, over the years, many different attempts at rebellion and revolt. Different people turned to as Messiah figures who might save them. And Jesus was certainly one of them. The people had been hearing exciting things about him, stories about how he didn't always follow those rules, how he's making trouble, how he was challenging worldly authority and instead talking about God's power, the transformation that could come with God. And so they looked to him as the person who would save them, who would bring new things, good things, freedom. When have we done that in our lives? Looked to someone else and said, you can fix this. You can make things better for me. If you would just do this, then everything would be okay. And when we do that, of course, we're not asking them to bring their wisdom, or their skills, or their knowledge, or their difference of opinion. We know very well how we want them to solve the problem. We have a certain idea of what that end point, that rescue should look like. And we're not necessarily all that willing to listen to other possibilities. We're not necessarily all that willing to listen to the idea that we might be wrong about what we're looking for and how we want to be saved. And so in the story of Holy Week, we experience this movement from the gathering of crowds, from the expectation, from the hope of transformation, of being saved, of a fight that could finally free the people. And those expectations being broken, the power of the Roman authorities being exerted, the danger that comes with that, the realization that no one person can't make my life perfect. No, the powers of this world aren't going to just allow someone to fight for freedom and say, yeah, you deserve it. There you go. We'll leave. So we start the story with crowds and noise, sounds of expectation and hope and certainty about what this will look like. And by the end of today, we get the other extreme. Jesus alone with only a few disciples. No longer the crowds gathered at the roadsides or the smaller crowds gathered at the temple, but just a few people there with him as everything seems to go wrong. Instead of the sounds, we have silence. Instead of the hope, we have disillusionment. Instead of the certainty, we have the realization that this image of what being saved means is not what we expect. It's not what we want or hope for. It's something else. The story doesn't end today. We continue further into the silence, into the waiting, into the letting go of other people being the answer to our problems, of deciding how everyone else should behave. We move further into the story about what the truth of life and love and transformation looks like, not as an easy road to victory, but as a path of sorrow, of suffering, of compassion. And then we continue to travel through the story. Because that truth isn't the end. That's not all there is to hear. But we need to get there first before we can hear together.